Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start from verse 1.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
If you remember, when we're reading and studying the chapter 4, Saint Paul was saying, do not judge anyone until the Jesus Christ comes. And that's why so many people, when you start talking to them and telling them something they are doing wrong, they will say, who are you to judge me? They do not want you to judge them or tell them what they're doing wrong. Jesus never said, do not judge. Jesus said, before you judge somebody, you judge yourself. That means you find out if you're doing something wrong. He said, if you have a log in your eyes, how can you see a small pick of dust in your brother's eyes? So he said, take the log out and then you will be seeing clearly. That means if the log is out, then you are free to tell somebody they are doing wrong. If I am doing wrong, I cannot tell anybody, don't do this or don't do that, because they're going to point me out. Don't you do the same thing and you telling us? There are some fathers will say, son, you don't smoke, you don't drink. I messed up my life. I don't want you messing your life. The child is going to say, okay, okay. And when he become teenager, then he's going to say, who are you to telling me? You're doing the same thing. You cannot tell me I should not do this. So we have to have a set a good example to our family, to our church, to our community, and to our country. So here, in this chapter, why he's saying this? Because chapter 5, he was saying there is someone in the church, he has taken his father's wife, and nobody's saying him anything. Excommunicate that person from the church. And now he's saying, let me tell you, this is to make you ashamed or make you embarrassed. He says, don't you have any person in the church that he could tell somebody that they are doing something wrong? And he says, why the church people, when they have a problem, instead of coming to pastor or the elder of the church, they are dragging their brother to court? Now somebody will say, is it wrong to go to court? No, it is not wrong to go to court. Then why he is saying, don't drag your brother to court? These two different things. Just think, you are driving the car. You got hit by another person. And that person is not a believer. And then you telling him, you hit me, he said, so what? So what do? Take his number, call the police, and hand it over to the right person. But just think, that was a church member. The person said, I'm a born-again believer. I made a mistake. Then what you do? Then you don't call the police. Then you tell the brother, brother, you know, I have a problem. I don't have money. Can you give me some money? We fix it so we don't go to court. And if that person is born again, he will help you. Otherwise, he will tell his story. So he says, if the brother in Christ or sister in Christ have some problem with you, you sit with that person, talk with that person, and straighten it out. If that person doesn't understand you, then take that matter to the pastor. And then pastor or the elder of the church will tell that person quietly. If that person doesn't listen, then they'll bring the matter in the church and then excommunicate that person from the church So this is what the word of God is saying. So he's saying, don't you know that the brothers and sisters in Christ, they're supposed to judge the world. That means the believers, we are going to be kings and we are going to be priests. So we are not ordinary people. He says not only the world, but we are going to judge the angels. See the verse 3.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?
Right. If we can judge the angels, we can judge the whole world. Why cannot judge your brother when you are alive in this world? He's talking to world to come. If you read Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
We are going to be priests, we are going to be kings in the millennium. And somebody says, what happens after the millennium? After the millennium, we go to heaven. Now there are so many people are believing, we are not going to go to heaven, heaven is coming down. But then Jesus Christ said in a book of St. John chapter 14, read first 2 verses.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
So he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and then I'll come back and I'll take you wherever I am. It is impossible for the scientists to find out where God lives. So when God says, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he says, I will go. There is already a place in heaven, and there are so many mansions, not the small houses or huts, mansion. And he says, I am going to prepare a place for you. Not he's rebuilding, not he's repairing. He said, I am going to prepare a brand new place. And that's called the New Jerusalem. If you want to read about that New Jerusalem, read it in the book of Revelation chapter 21. You will know how big that New Jerusalem is. Now, people are thinking, when you talk about New Jerusalem is the place for the bride. That doesn't mean that's the only place in heaven. So, what the Word of God is saying, we are going to rule the world in a millennium with Jesus Christ. When the millennium is finished, then this headquarter from Jerusalem changing to the New Jerusalem, and we are going to go to New Jerusalem, and the new heaven and the new earth, we will be with Jesus Christ in that headquarter where the kingdom will be, where Jesus Christ will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We will be sitting with his right hand, and we will be ruling. Somebody says, 12 apostles will be sitting with his right hand. Out of 12, one died. Then what? The Word of God says there are many apostles, not one, many. Many prophets, many apostles. And what Jesus Christ says, first will be the last, and what? Last will be the first. It will happen to many. What does it mean? When we have the thrones in heaven, even if they have 12 thrones, what we will be doing? We will be interchanging all the ministers and pastors and all these people every day, or because there is no time limit. We are going to be for their eternity. See how long the time is. So how many people will be sitting in his right hand? So he's saying, we are going to judge the world, we are going to judge the angels, and so we have this power God has given to us, so we should not be taking our case to the court. And there was another case going on, I just heard, somebody rented somebody's church. Now the people who rented their church, they had the small congregation, so they could not afford, so they rented to somebody. And now their church is big. So they start telling, now this is our church, because we are paying the rent and we are paying a lot of money, now this is our church. They said, but this is our church. No, this is our church. So case went to court. And the court says, hey, how this church became yours? Because we are renting. When you're renting somebody's house, you cannot say that my house. So they kicked them out. So what I'm trying to say, sometimes when the believers acting like a non-believers, then you drag him to court. But the believers acting like a believers, you are not supposed to take them to court. You should talk to them, believers, between believers, deacons and pastors, and then everything will be fine. That's why St. Paul is saying we should not take our case to unbelievers. Let's go to the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7.
Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
If somebody said something to you or did something wrong to you, you suffer for the Christ's sake. Sometimes somebody's a hard-headed person and doesn't want to admit he made a mistake and he's trying to harass you. What you do? If he's your brother, try to forgive him and try to tell him that, you know, God will take care. Sometimes we have to leave it in the hand of God, and God will take care. Verse 8.
Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Why are you coming in this sinful people's category? We are believers. We are not supposed to act like unsaved person. He has given all the names of these people who are doing wrong things. But the person is not born again. He can do all kinds of sins, and their heart doesn't condemn them. And sometimes the Christian people do something wrong, and their heart doesn't condemn them if somebody doesn't tell them that they are wrong. So it is our duty, if the believers start acting like a non-believers, it is our duty to say, sir, you don't do this. Now, for example, there are people called sipping saints. Do you know what a sipping saints means? The born-again believer, they say, we don't get drunk. When we eat something or we go to party, we just drink a little bit. But according to the Word of God, sin is sin. If you steal a dollar, you're a thief, right? If you steal $100, you're a thief. You cannot say he's a small thief and a big thief. Thief is a thief. If you break a commandment, out of 10 commandments, if you break one, you're guilty of all. So we have to learn, if somebody is not telling somebody you're doing wrong, they are not going to understand they're doing wrong, because they're looking at somebody. He said, I'm better than that person. You cannot compare yourself with a somebody. You compare yourself with God. Thank God, God has called me to do that. I'm not afraid of kings. I'm not afraid of big person, small person, big pastor, big member, small members, anybody. The Word of God is saying, we have to tell the truth. If you don't tell the truth, then you will consider like unsaved people, unbelievers. And all these unbelievers will not inherit the kingdom of God. So as a believer, we cannot act like a non-believer. Verse 11.
And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Now he is trying to say, we were just like this 9 and 10th verse we read. Our life was just like sinners. We were worse people on this earth. But the Word of God says, but we are washed. How we were washed? Washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we are washed and said, and you are sanctified. You know, sanctified and washed, people use the same interchangeably. But the sanctified is set apart, separated from the sinners. Now he says, first he washed us, we were sinners. He washed our sins with his precious blood. And then what he did? He separated us from the unsaved people to himself. That's why once you are born again, don't mix with the unsaved people. You can go and witness to them, talk to them about God, but you cannot act like unbelievers. If you start acting like unbelievers, then there is no meaning washing you and cleansing you and setting you apart. A pig, when you wash with the soap and water and put a perfume on everything and set that pig loose, what happens? He goes right to the mud. So what is the difference between a born-again believers and a pig? We are God's people. Do you know we are the body of Christ? Right? If I am a body of Christ, why am I sick? You understand? Body of Christ has to be healthy. And do you know that Jesus Christ is the head? If Jesus Christ is my head and I am his body, I should not be sick. Then why am I sick? Why? Because I am allowing enemy to rule over me. I am allowing him to trample over me. Here he says, hey, you are washed. You are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, you are sanctified and you are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, when you say you are washed, you are sanctified, and what? You are justified. You know what justified means? Justified means you never committed sin. You are a just person. You are a righteous person. You are not guilty. You are a saint of God. That means you never committed sin. He said you were a sinner. You are sanctified. You are washed and you are justified in the name of Jesus. And know what he says? And by the Spirit of our Lord. So what does it mean? When you are born again, child of God, you have the Spirit of Christ. And when you have the Spirit of Christ, means you are Christian, then Jesus Christ brings his Father to dwell in you. So you got the God the Father and God the Son, so you can act like Son of God. That's what he is trying to say. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12.
All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them.
Some things are good for you. Law will permit. There is a liquor license is given to people. And people are selling liquors. So it's legal to drink wine, right? So he said, even though it is lawful, it's legal, but if that thing is destroying me, I don't need it. According to the word of God, is prohibited. And even the some of the things, there is no law if the pastors have a part-time job and part-time work, that pastor will go to hell. There are so many pastors are doing part-time job because they cannot support, church cannot support them. But at the same time, Jesus Christ says, if you want to serve me or serve the Lord, what do? Forsake all and follow me. And so some people give up everything and follow the Lord. I did. But I cannot make this law to everyone. They have to decide. I want to follow totally to the Lord. That's why St. Paul says some of the things are lawful to me, but I'm not doing it. I want to please God. I'm not under the law. I'm under the grace. Okay, verse 13.
Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body.
Okay, now here it says, you eat for the body. And somebody says, if I didn't have the body, I will be not eating the food. So he says, body and food one day will be destroyed. That means food is perishable and the body is perishable. What Jesus Christ says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word comes out of the mouth of God, we can live. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. So here the word of God is saying, we are not living for body, we are living for Jesus Christ. So he says, if your body is belong to God, then don't give this body to sinful activities. Somebody says, this is my body, I can do anything with my body. Your body is not yours. Okay, verse 14.
And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid.
That means if we live for God and if we give our body as a living sacrifice to God, then this body will be resurrected, not sinful body. If somebody committed sin and that person died, God is not going to raise that person to reign with him. That person will be raised in the final judgment after the millennium just for sending that person to hell. That's the only resurrection they have. But he's talking about the first resurrection. The people who are resurrected in the Lord, they are going to serve him. They are going to with him. They are going to be kings and priests. So he says, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? That means each and every person is a member of the body of Christ. We are the member of the body of Christ. So he said, how can you give this body to what? Harlot. Means how can you use this body to do the sinful activity? Our body is the temple of the living God. Let's read verse 16.
What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh.
Okay, now somebody say, I'm not going after a harlot. I'm going with my boyfriend. Who is he? If you're not married, if he's not your husband, she is harlot and he is harlot. That's what it is. Harlot doesn't mean that person has to be prostitute. If that person doesn't have his wife, or he kept his wife in some other country, and he's lying to you that, you know, I'm divorced already, and you don't have a proof of papers or nothing, you cannot believe that person's word. And you cannot give your body to that person. If you do that, that means, he said, you join with a harlot. Boyfriend and girlfriend, if you are not married, is unholy thing in the sight of God. Period. And he says, if you do that, you become one body with the sinner. And then you are not my body anymore. We are the body of Christ. We should join with Christ. So what he's trying to say, if you take your body and give it to unholy person who is not your husband or who is not your wife, then you become one with that person, with the body, and then you're destroying your body. Okay, verse 17.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
If you join with the Lord, one body, one spirit. Jesus Christ is our head and we are his body, then we are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ was in the spirit before he took a form of man, he was in the spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit. God is spirit, Son is spirit, and the Holy Spirit is spirit. So what happened? The spirit is one. You cannot divide the spirit from one spirit to another spirit, because spirit is like an air, the wind. So all together is one spirit. You remember when they stoning Stephen to death, what did he say? He said, I see heaven open, and I see Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of Father. How come he saw Father when the Father is in the spirit? You understand? Because he was seeing, he means I'm talking about Stephen. Stephen was seeing Father with his spirit eyes. With the physical eyes, you cannot see heaven. So how can Stephen see with his eyes God and the Son side by side? When you are in the spirit, then you can see the spirit body. This is called a spiritual body. So God the Father has the spiritual body, Son has a spiritual body, and the Holy Spirit has a spiritual body. Do you know the Holy Spirit is called person? When you say Holy Spirit is a person, he has all attributes of man. He hears, he talks, he feels, he gets angry, he gives command. Everything what the man does, Holy Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit is a person. Son is the person. Father is the person. And now he says we are the people. But once we are born again children of God, what happens? The Spirit of Christ comes and stays in our spirit. And the God the Father comes. So we became a spiritual person. But we cannot be one spirit if you're living in adultery and fornication and all day long thinking about boyfriend and girlfriend and what I'm going to do. You have no time to read the Bible. You have no time to pray. You have no time to think about spiritual matter. Then what? You are sold out to the world, not to God. You cannot be then having a one spirit, and you cannot talk to God, and you cannot have the visions and dreams and all of these things. The Word of God says, if you are in the Lord, then you are one spirit. Verse 18.
Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
What is trying to say? Flee from fornication. Run for your life. And somebody says, Pastor Peter, you do not understand American culture. I don't understand American culture. I understand Bible. Bible is the culture we have. Okay, we go according to the Word of God. Okay, if you need a husband or wife, what you do? Go on your knees and pray. God will give it to you, good husband and good wife. So the lady was telling me, I was just praying and God brought the right man to my church and I got married. That's called godly way to do things. God never makes mistake. Okay, so what I'm trying to say, we are joined together for life. There is no shortcut. God says, I hate divorce, but at the same time, he doesn't hate you. If you say, Lord, I made a mistake, forgive me, he will forgive you, but never do that mistake again. That's what it is. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9.
What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?
You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, or you are the temple of living God. Here it says temple of the Holy Spirit. But if you read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says temple of God. So this body can hold Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are the temple of the living God. Okay, verse 20.
For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
This body is the temple of the living God. We are belong to God. We are not our own. Why? We are purchased. Purchased with what? Purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. So when he purchased us from the enemy, we are belong to him. So now we cannot say, this is my body, I can do anything. He said, I paid the price. So So we are belong to God. So what it says? So glorify God with your body, with your soul, with your spirit, because we are all belong to God. Shall we rise? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. You are a great God. You have saved us, washed us, separated us, justified us, and we are belong to you. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, Triune God, is living in us. And we want to be one spirit with God. Lord Jesus, give us grace to be holy unto you. And give us grace to be ready for your soon coming. Because you are coming for the holy body, holy church, holy bride. Prepare us, Lord, for your soon coming. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.